What the Lord has put on my heart, you see the title of the message up there. Do the basics well. And that's really what we're going to talk about today. And for many of you, you've walked a long road with the Lord. A lot of what I'm going to say is going to be so familiar and so old hat. But please bear in mind, the purpose of the message really is to encourage mostly those of us here who are a bit younger in the Lord, maybe struggling a bit with their walk with the Lord, and just need to be reminded of, or in some cases maybe even hear for the first time, the basics of the Christian faith. So that's what God has put on my heart. So if you are a very experienced believer, please bear with me. Please bear with us. And just take comfort in the fact that, I don't know about you, but whenever I've heard familiar things, things that I know well, when someone preaches a message that I know that subject matter, there's always something new that comes to me. So if you're here today and experienced in the Lord, please just bear that in mind. And may the Holy Spirit impart something beautiful to all of us. I think I will start the message with a story. It's a simple story. And I sort of almost thought twice about telling it, but I realize it's a bit allegorical. It's sort of an allegory. And for those of you who may not know what that is, my understanding of something that's allegorical or is an allegory is where there's a story, but underneath the story, there's a moral or religious or spiritual truth that needs to come out. So please bear with my simple story. Many years ago, over 50 years ago, as a teenager, I was very keen, believe it or not, on table tennis. I'm probably the only person in the whole church, but never mind, that's okay. So I was so keen that as a teenager, I got to play some league table tennis. That sounds very grand, but I played at a very, very low level, okay? I think one of the leagues we played in the 8th division out of 10. So, you know, that was fairly limited. But we were serious about it. It's a serious matter. We practiced. We were serious. And one evening, we were playing the match. I don't know how they do it in South Africa, but those days, 50 years ago, in England, you were 3 members in each team, and you each played a singles. So there was 9 singles games in the evening and 1 doubles. And I remember this evening, we were sort of doing okay, but we'd had the singles, and I think if I recall correctly, we'd lost them 5-4. And now it's time for the doubles. So, now understand, we're taking this serious. So, if we can win the doubles, we get a point, okay? We lose the doubles, it's finished, okay? So, your best 2 players play the doubles. Now, our number 1 player, first of all, he was the organizer of the table tennis team. Secondly, he was the captain. Thirdly, he was the number 1 player. And fourthly, he was my boss. And fifthly, he was 15 years older than me. We were also very good friends. So now, we're going to play this last game. We're going to play the doubles. And he comes to me. Derek, he says, said these words, "You get the ball over the net and leave the fancy stuff to me." I can't remember what I said. Anyhow, God only knows why that simple story stayed with me for over 50 years. I wasn't even a Christian at the time. 15 years, 16, 17 years later, I became a Christian. Stayed with me all the time. When I became a Christian, I realized, you know what? That's just like Christianity. You know, I am playing the doubles of life with God. Right? And my job is to get the ball over the net. And God's job is to do the fancy stuff. In other words, I keep the ball in play. And God hits the winners. And it just is such a simple truth. And it's such a simple truth. And I realize that what happens in the Christian life, if I look at that illustration, is that God does the miracles, God does the wonders, but if I'm not keeping the ball in play, if I'm not doing the basics well, then what happens? God is just, he's always on the scene, but he's just not so obviously on the scene. And if I do the basics well, I will put myself in a situation where God does the wonders and the miracles. You know, when you do the basics well in Christianity, you will find, you will just see and recognize how God undertakes in all of these things. He changes that situation. He provides that finance when you need it. He helps heal that relationship. When you've got three times as many things to do that day as you can possibly do, he comes and supernaturally changes the situation in the morning, so you've got the time. You think you've got three meetings of 3 hours each. One gets cancelled and the other two take half an hour each, and you've suddenly got time. You see him constantly, in every way, moving on your and my behalf. And a big key to this is doing the basics well. So that's my story. I think, let's go to the first scripture if you don't mind. Yeah. This. This is for me like the keynote scripture for the basics. If we look at the context of that and the historical context of the scripture, we'll read it just now. Jesus has lived, he's preached, he's died, God has raised him from the dead, and he is going to ascend to heaven. And he says to the disciples, wait for me in Jerusalem. Not wait for me. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit to be poured out. You'll receive the Holy Spirit. And just a few days from now. And the disciples do just that. They go and they wait as they are instructed. And Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit is poured out, you will receive power. So that is what they're waiting for. So they wait, and one day the Holy Spirit is poured out with power on the disciples. They receive power. They start speaking in tongues. They start speaking in languages that they don't know. They are new languages to them. And they go out and they start proclaiming the wonderful works of God. The power of God has come on them. The power of God has come on them. And they walk out and they proclaim the word of God, and they are speaking in languages they don't even know. But it so happens there are many people from other nations around, Jews from other nations, who actually understand those languages. So the Holy Spirit is poured out. And it's poured out in such a way that the people even think they're drunk. And but it's 9 o'clock in the morning, so they're not drunk. And so with this Holy Spirit being poured out, Peter takes the gap, because everybody realizes there's an act of God here. Peter takes the gap, and he gets up, and he preaches to the people. And he gives them a whole story. And they are so convicted, and they are so cut to the heart that they say, what shall we do? Now, this effectively is the first sermon in what we could call the church age. Jesus has preached, died, and ascended. And this is the first sermon in the church age. And this is what Peter says. And this is so important because it is the first one. We can expect to find the basics in there. So let's just read what the basics, the first basic things in the first, call it New Testament sermon, that is spoken. And let's just read them together. Then Peter said to them, so this is in answer to, what do we do? He said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Next slide. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now, if you look closely, if we look closely at that scripture, there are three what I can call foundation stones and four ongoing practices that form the basics of the faith. If we can go back to the first slide, let's just see. Repent is the first foundation stone. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ is the second. And receive the gift of the Holy Spirit is the third. Now then, if we move on to the next slide, and we see, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And there you will see four continuing practices that we are to do when we do the basics well. excuse me. The apostles' doctrine. The apostles, basically their doctrine, we find it now in our Bible because the letters of Paul are in our Bible. And they had the Old Testament scriptures for which they could preach doctrine, and they had, the new church was the word, is preaching the word of God. So that's the word of God. And prayers, that is effectively our quiet time, our devotional time, time in the Word, time in prayer, time in praise, and the breaking of bread and fellowship. Fellowship is what we're doing here, small group, wherever. So those are the foundation stones and the ongoing practices. I just want to take time to say, let's go back to the first foundation stone, repent. I don't know, I do understand that most of us here are saved. Most of us know the Lord Jesus. But if you are today, here today, this is the most basic thing of all. You need to be saved. Let me just say to you quickly how you can be saved. You may be sitting here knowing that you need Christ but don't know how to do it. Let me put it very concisely to you. Admit you are a sinner. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is who he says he is. And that he died for you on the cross. He paid the price for your sins on the cross. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God raised him from the dead. Repent, confess to God, say you are sorry for your sins. You're going to turn from your sins and turn to God. And commit your life to him for the rest of your life. That is what you need to do. If you are sitting here today and you don't know Jesus, we can pray with you before you leave this place tonight. But don't forget the last thing. Commit your life to Jesus. It needs to be the most important decision of your life. It needs to be that Jesus is going to be the center of your life. It needs to be that you live for Jesus. And if we need to, we'll die for Jesus. That is the gospel. You'll never look back. You'll never be disappointed because you will know God. But you need to make a commitment. The next foundation stone, if I can call it, I'll handle these quickly. The next foundation stone is baptism. Baptism is baptism in water. You may be sitting here and be a little bit confused about the baptism story. Baptism is immersion. It is not sprinkling. Baptism is identification with Christ, where we die with him symbolically by going under the water, and we are raised to new life in him. That is the basic symbolism. We haven't got it on the screen and we don't have time to read it all, but for the doctrinal explanation, just go to your Bible during the week to Romans chapter 6. You'll get the whole doctrine of baptism set out. But it's immersion. You are identifying with Christ in death by baptism, and you are being raised to new life when you come up out of the water. Just two other things to mention. Baptism is very, very important. The Lord Jesus went to John the Baptist to be baptized. And John the Baptist said to him, No, you need to baptize me, not me baptize you. But Jesus said, do it now, he said, to fulfill all righteousness. So if you're wondering about whether you need to be baptized or not, if Jesus needed to be, then I think it is important for all of us to be baptized. I wrote down something interesting about baptism. I just want to read it to you. I think it expresses it well. Baptism gives visual testimony of the commitment to Christ that we have already made. It is a declaration to the whole spiritual world of what has taken place in our life. That's very interesting. It gives a visual testimony to what has happened. But it's also a declaration to the whole spiritual world. The spiritual world of God, the angels and the believers, and the demonic world of Satan and his demons and his evil powers, principalities and authorities. So when we get baptized, we are making that declaration that we have changed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. There is great spiritual significance in that. And if anybody of you here is not yet baptized, then it's a believer's baptism. If you're a child of God, you need to be baptized and make sure you go for that. The next thing I would like to talk about, it's the third foundation stone, Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Now we are the ones who are afar off. Okay? The promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to them, their children, and to all who are afar off. That's us. God wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. And it is for all of us. And it is for today. There is a lot of confusion about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I will try to just simplify it if I can. The first thing with the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that many people wonder and say, but didn't I get the Holy Spirit when I got saved? Yes, of course you did. We all got the Holy Spirit when we were saved. We don't get half a Trinity or two-thirds of a Trinity. We get Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But you know, Jesus said when he was talking to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, he said that he has living waters for us. And the living water that he has is a fountain that rises up in us to eternal life. And today I would like you to see that as a type of the Holy Spirit. So when we get born again, we receive a fountain of living water that wells up in us to eternal life. Then, in John chapter 7, Jesus said, speaking of the Holy Spirit, when you receive the Holy Spirit, rivers of living water will flow out of your heart. So, when we get born again, we receive a fountain of living water welling up to everlasting life. That is wonderful. But when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we get rivers of living water coming out of us. So, the point is, do we want a fountain or do we want rivers? And God wants to give us rivers of living water. And so that is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a subsequent thing to being born again. Now, when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we receive power, we will receive an increased desire to worship the living God, to pray and praise him and proclaim the word. And we should expect to receive a prayer language, a language that we don't know, that God supernaturally blesses us with. And that experience will just deepen our walk with the Lord. It will make us more effective witnesses, because the power is there to make us more effective witnesses. And we will have just such more desire to praise and worship the living God. We also, like I said, we should expect to receive a prayer language. And in that prayer language, we will find that we are just with so much conviction, we will find we are interceding. And there's just such a depth to our worship. And we will be interceding and for others in so many different ways. And the scripture tells us that we will be built up. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, we will be built up. So expect, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, expect to be able to praise and worship God in another tongue, expect to have more power in your life, and expect to be able to intercede for others, intercede in prayer, and expect to be built up as you exercise your prayer language. So that is the three blocks. Let's move on to the next slide. So we've spoken briefly about our quiet time. Our quiet time is really the basis of our Christianity. And I just would like to take quickly some time to share with you the importance of the Word. You can go to the next slide. This slide, Joshua 1 verse 8. Moses has died, and Joshua has to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And when? And immediately before Joshua is going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, God says to him this: "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Now, Joshua was leading the people into the promised land, and this was the instruction from God. We have been born again, and in a very real sense, we come into the promised land. Joshua had enemies that he was going to have to conquer, physical enemies. We have enemies, mostly spiritual enemies, that we have to conquer. So, the instruction, if that instruction was good for Joshua going into the promised land to conquer the enemies, then that instruction is good for us to help us to win our spiritual battles. And let's just look at the scripture again. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will make your way successful. So a big key to our success in the Christian life is to spend time in the Word, so that we can access the promise and be, what does it say? Make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. So I just want to encourage you today. Our daily devotions, it's the most important part of our day. Don't ignore it. It's such a basic part of our Christianity. Get into the Word. It will give you good success. It will make your way prosperous. And your prayer and praise and Bible reading time is the cornerstone of your, it's the cornerstone, your devotional life is so foundational to our success as Christians. Then just to look there, the fellowship of believers here in church, a small group, Christian fellowship wherever you are. It is so important as one of the basic things. And breaking bread. We break bread in church here. We do communion. But it doesn't only have to stay in the church. We can do communion at small group. We do it sometimes. You can do it at home. It is holy moments and holy times. Please make that part of your devotional life. So, just to recap, we are talking about doing the basics. The basic building blocks: you need to repent, you need to become a Christian, you need water baptism, You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And your ongoing practices, you need to get into the Word. You need to have a devotional time where you're in the Word and you're praying and praising and worshiping God. And don't forget the fellowship of believers. And don't forget the fellowship of believers. And don't forget the holiness of taking communion. It is all part of our basic, of doing the basics well. If we do that, we will create a situation where we see so much more God moving in our lives. Let me stop there. I think time is moving on. And thank you very much.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Derek. Thank you for bringing that word around the basics, and it's something we must hear from time to time. You know, whether you are the Springboks or the Proteas or whoever you are, without the basics in play, you will eventually find yourself in trouble. And Derek is right. You know, there are times when we develop those additional things, additional skills, when we pursue more of the Lord in a specific area, whether we press into prophecy or whether we pursue spiritual gifts like we have this year. And we've said, Lord, you know, am I called for healing? And we had the Holy Spirit Impact Weekend, yeah. And I know a lot of us have been pressing into those gifts. I certainly have. And saying, Lord, in what other ways do you want to use me? But from time to time, the elder in the house needs to step up and say, guys, just remember the basics. Because you can be running around front, you're killing a lot of people, but if you're not getting to the Lord, probably in a few weeks' time, you're going to be doing more damage than good. And so everything comes back to the basics, to our relationship with the Lord. And what I loved about what Derek said was, just the way he started off this morning was just that table tennis story where, you know, you do the basics, I'll hit the winners. And don't we want to hit the winners. You know, our human fallen nature is like I said last time, is, man, we want the glory. We want the shine. We want the satisfaction of saying, you know, did you see how I hit that? And I really believe the Lord can do a lot with a church that understands its role around the table tennis table. Where we come into our lane and we run in the lane that He has chosen. Because I think one of the most damaging things a church can experience is when runners aren't running in their lanes. And so I really believe the Lord is, as He said to us last week, and I love the way His word is tying in with the word that I brought about last week. Last week's word was about teamwork. That Jesus is into teamwork. Jesus is a team player. Jesus ministered in the context of team. That's how He rolled. He chose His team, the 12, the 72. And then what I said is, that's the same model that continued in the same scripture that Derek shared this morning, Acts 2. Jesus didn't say, go into Jerusalem and go and change the world. And He said, wait. You need the one that can hit the winners. Wait for Him. Go and wait. Do the basics. Go and pray. Go wait for me. May we always be found doing the basics and allowing the Lord to hit the winners through us. Yes, He does it through us. But remember what Peter and John said to the guys that said, how are they healing these people? Say, do you think that by my own power, by our own power, we're doing these things? They didn't say, no, I'm the one hitting the winners. They said, no, no, no. This power, this that's being poured out, this that you see is what was prophesied by Joel and Isaiah. That the one who gives us power will come. And so, thank you, Derek, for this word. Thank you for reminding us that we are always dependent, always humbly waiting for the one that works powerfully through us. And yes, there will be healings. Yes, there will be prophecy. That was what this morning was about in the worship, just waiting on the spirit of prophecy, waiting on Jesus. But it all starts with us and the basic. And there is no life in Christ without repentance. That's the first building block. I want to say to you this morning, perhaps there's something you need to repent of. Unfortunately, sin separates us from God. That's how it works. And you will be sitting here this morning, you'll know what's going on in your life. And I don't need to tell you there's sin in your life. I trust the Holy Spirit has already said, I don't want that in your life. Maybe that dependency that Venora spoke about, that potential idol, the thing you run to first. You know, the Lord's gracious with us. He allows it for a while, but after a while, He just knocks a little bit louder and a little bit louder. He doesn't come bang down your door, but He puts His finger on it. What's the Lord putting His finger on this morning? Repentance again. We take it as a heavy word. All it means is change your mind. Change your mind about that thing. Say, I'm done with that. I'm done with that pattern of behavior. I'm done with that dependency. I'm changing my mind. I'm turning around and I'm walking the other way. That's what repentance is. I believe some of us need to repent this morning. Maybe not of heavy things, but small things that in the long run will cause you a lot of pain. Second building block, baptism. We baptized 10, 11, 12 people here the other day. If you need to be baptized, come speak to me or Mojo afterwards. It's one of the basic blocks. It's foundational. Physical act, spiritual demonstration of obedience to the call of Christ. Number three, the Holy Spirit. The longer I am a Christian, the more I realize how much I need the Holy Spirit. We are just so lost without the presence, the fullness, and the power of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit here this morning, if you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or if you need a new touch, a new infilling of the Holy Spirit, we want to pray for you. Please come to the front. Lastly, if you need to make a commitment to your quiet times, maybe the year's got a bit long and you're out of that rhythm of being daily in God's Word, daily in worship, daily in God, in God's presence, make that commitment this morning. That's why this message was preached. That's why you're in church this morning, to hear these words. And lastly, the communion of the saints. We can't do this Christian walk without each other. Amen. So let's stand this morning as I close off for us. Father, thank you that we can respond this morning. Thank you that we can be not just hearers, but doers of your word. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd speak to each and every one here this morning. Lord, let your word accomplish that which it was sent out for. God, let it hit the bullseye. Spirit of God, I pray that you'd speak to people right now about repentance, about water baptism, about the need to be filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit, the need to be in your word, the need to be in prayer, the need to bring our own praise and worship to you individually, God, and about the importance of your bride, the body of Christ. I'm going to start with the first one. Let's have our eyes closed. If you need to repent of something this morning, and just right there where you are, just bring that before the Lord. I'm just going to allow 30, 40 seconds. And you just softly bring that thing before the Lord. Say, God, I'm done with this. I'm walking away. I'm changing my mind. Then I want to make a call. If there's anybody here this morning who's never given their lives to Jesus, never done what Derek spoke about, acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of grace, believed in your heart that Christ is Lord and confessed with your mouth, that's never done those ABCs of the faith, if that's you this morning, if you've never committed your life to Christ or you want to make a recommit, quickly slip up your hand. I'm gonna pray for you. Is there anybody like that who needs to make that commitment this morning? Any recommitments? Anybody want to make a recommitment this morning? Praise God. Everyone is saved in this room. And then, lastly, if there's somebody that wants to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or just more of the Holy Spirit, once the service is closed, I want you to come to the front, and we would love to pray for you. If there's anybody else that's got any other prayer need here, we'd love to stand in agreement with you. Maybe you're trusting for work, maybe you're trusting for a breakthrough in a relationship. Come to the front. That's why the body of Christ is here, to support each other. That's why we are here this morning. So please come to the front afterwards. We'd love to pray with you. Let me just pray for all of us. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, that you have spoken loudly and clearly. Thank you that we can respond to that. Lord, I pray your blessing over everyone that came here this morning. Be with them in this week, God. Bless their going out and their coming in. Bless their businesses. Bless their work. Bless every decision that they make this week. Father, may your face shine on us, God. May we know your peace in this week, God. May we live as a people of freedom in the fullness of your Holy Spirit, boldly proclaiming, not being ashamed of you. May we testify of who you are this week. And may we walk in the joy of the Lord. That is our strength. In Jesus' name, amen. All God's people said, amen. Have a wonderful Sunday. The Lord bless you. Enjoy the fellowship. And please come to the front if we can pray.